Good evening. Josh, I was going to say something about what I've done many times of give a song and then sing the next one to it. But you know what? As I was sitting here thinking about that, I apologize, Josh, because I forgot my microphone in the back. So if you can't hear me back there, I'll try to speak a little louder tonight. You know, things like that happen, doesn't it? When we get older, we just forget things. Even though we intend to remember them, that's the things we usually forget most. Tonight, I've entitled my lesson, Abigail. You know, there are many people, especially females within the Bible, who had a significant role at some time or other that we know little or nothing about until they're called on into service. And it's interesting, you know, like Abigail was a very special lady. You know, the scriptures don't give us a clue about Abigail's parents or her background. We just know by what she'd done, she must have been raised in a Hebrew family of the strict religious growth, and they even call her a Hebrew. And so therefore, that's what we believe she is by the way of her character and how she acted and how she believed. You know, a distinguished English Christian theologian, Charles Eliot, suggested that her name Abigail was given to her by those who were lived on the plantation or the large estate that her husband owned. Nabal's house was a big place and a lot of land, and therefore he was quite wealthy, and they thought that maybe because of her beauty, she actually received her name from them who recognized her as being that way. And her name means whose father is joy. Abigail's Jewish knowledge, in other words, about the history, really makes us understand and believe that she must have been raised in a Jewish home if she wasn't herself Hebrew, although they do call her a Hebrew later on in the scripture, so it's for us to believe, even though we know very little about or nothing her background. The three main characters in the story of one of the loveliest women in the Bible is Nabal, Abigail, and David. Now, of those three, we find two that have a lot of beautiful characters about them. Their characteristics, the way they carried themselves, even their feature, but when it comes to Nabal, we found that he was not a very nice person. In 1 Samuel, we find that he calls them harsh and evil. Turn with me, if you will, to Samuel's chapter 25. We'll start with verse 3. As Samuel addresses both Nabal and Abigail, and if you hold your finger there, we'll be there most of the evening, if not all. As we leave, you can come back to it if you want to follow along. In verse 3 here, we find the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doing. He was one of the house of Caleb. Nabal was harsh and rude and difficult, and he only thought about himself. He really didn't care much of anything. He had none of the qualities that his beautiful wife had. She was elegant, and she thought about things. She took care of things. In fact, she covered for him, as we'll find many times in his life. She had to go in and put out a fire that he started. He was an evil guy who was very harsh and greedy and selfish. Other historians account as well in 1 Samuel 25, verse 36, said that Nabal was a drunkard. Even historical accounts of this individual talk about how he drank a lot and was evil and brutish. And he was stubborn and ill-tempered. Now, the Bible records that he was a wretched man, an unbeliever, a son of Belial, who'd bowed his knee to the gods of those around him, but not to the God of his father. Added to this, his brutal disposition, his evil ways, was his stupidity. And it's interesting to know that his name itself, it says, a fool. Now, how would you like to go around with all your life knowing that your new name meant that you were a fool? Well, he lived up to it nevertheless. He certainly did. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 14 through 17, we find that this inspired writer, Samuel, writes here, the strange things that happened that brought these three together. It was a sad event that happened. You see, David at that time was an outlaw because Saul was chasing him because he was the next coming king, and he called him an outlaw, and he had to run for his life, and he's living in the caves and stuff up in the hillside. He had 600 followers in his little band or his little army, and as a result, he would go around, and Nabal's fields and area were very big, and he would go down and protect the herdsmen and their flocks from being attacked. And so it came to a point in time when David needed some help. He was starving. He sent two people to go down and ask Nabal if he would give him some support, some food. After all, he'd been helping all this time of protecting his flock. Nabal, as usual, was rude. And he just said no. He wouldn't even give him a crumb from his table. He wasn't interested in helping David, which gave the impression that David then was nothing more than a hired raider that would go out and take care of business, as it were, for money. Rather, that wasn't what he was doing at all. And as a result of it, David not only was offended, he was ready to take wrath upon him. He was very distraught about this kind of an attitude. Well, Abigail learned of this and of David's request, but she had no idea. She had not seen those fellows who had come up and asked for the help. And she was so upset about the way that her husband had acted so terribly. She became the peacemaker, and she'd done it on many occasions with her neighbors, trying to keep peace when he went out and started stirring up trouble. It's kind of saying, you know, she would pull oil on the troubled waters. That's one meaning that she would go out and smooth over the offense of what he had done and try to resolve the issue before further trouble came. And so she decided she would go to David. And she prepared the supplies that David needed that would take care of his men, at least for a short period of time, and try to get over from having her husband be put to death, because even though he was ruthless, she was married to him, and she was loyal to her vows. In 1 Samuel 25, now let's look at verse 18 and 19. Samuel writes this. He said, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And then she said to her servants, 'Go before me. See, I am coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal." See, Abigail gathered together our supplies that she figured he had needed immediately, at least to support what he did, because he was a man of God and doing God's work, and there was no evil in him. And so therefore, she would do that for him. And as a result, she goes, and after she sends off the goods, she goes up and meets with David and his men. And what a great meeting it was. She came up to make excuses, or at least not excuses, but to defend her husband because he was not acting correctly. She wasn't supporting her husband in that way. She was just trying to keep him from being killed by David. She knew that there was no time to waste. And so she took action immediately. And as a result of that, it found out that when she got there, she had the supplies placed at David's feet. Then even to make it more appropriate, she went down and herself kneeled before David, as one who is inferior would bow down to one who is superior. She knew all the protocols. You see, in her day, women weren't supposed to do a lot of the talking unless it was absolutely necessary. And she knew, and she used her training and skill to do what was necessary. And so after she arrived at David's location, she pleaded for her husband's unworthy life. She knew he was unworthy. She didn't defend him. She just pleaded for his life. She asked for mercy because Nabal was foolish. And it was when this is what Abigail said here. If we turn to verse 25 now, 1 Samuel 25, as Samuel recorded this, Abigail said, "Please let not my Lord regard the scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men, my Lord, whom you sent." Abigail was of good understanding. She knew what she was to do. Even though it was not her place to speak out, she wanted to save her family, her household. And her appearance was beautiful. And the childlike attitude that she had, the innocence that she showed in her and her wisdom were married together to provide a physical and spiritual, a beautiful person. I mean, she just oozed not only that her appearance outside was beautiful, her inside was beautiful as well. In other words, she had brains and the soul as well as her beauty. You know, many women today try to cultivate their physical beauties. Sadly, many think, well, if I have a pretty enough face, I can make up for an empty head. And it doesn't really work very well. People see through that. And Abigail's beauty and her loveliness and intelligence went together hand in hand, and the intelligence she had only emphasized her true beauty. and it made her even more attractive. A beautiful woman with a beautiful mind, as Abigail had, was surely one of God's masterpieces. Not just because she was a woman, but I think anybody who has intelligence and the person to go about with a good character shows that they are a masterpiece of God's work. Added to her charm and wisdom was her devotion and reverence to God. She knew God, and though she had lived in such a unhappy situation at home, she knew and trusted her Lord and Heavenly Father and His teachings, and she remained faithful to her vows. When she made a vow, she did not renege on them. She stayed faithful to it. Only God can give Abigail that kind of possession in her militant capacity, and only God can do it when one like Abigail releases their own control and gives it over to God and does His will. You know, it applies to everybody. The more we give of ourselves to the Lord and allow us to follow His will, the more He will give us the capacity to do whatever we need to do. David was the other outstanding character of this record, and he was one who had fought the battles for the Lord. He was the one that went out and was courageous in doing the things that the Lord had asked him to do, and it said that he had done nothing wrong in his life. All the day's evil was not found in him, as we find in 1 Samuel 25 and verse 28, as Abigail says these words. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 28, we find, "Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days." You know, it has been implied that David was as beautiful of a man as Abigail was a woman there in 1 Samuel 16:12. As a description of him, he talks about he was such a handsome young fellow. Of course, some of the words they use sometimes, I don't know if they translate to handsome today or not. The word ruddy doesn't really get it for me, but nevertheless, he talks about how he was very pleasing to the eye as well. And Abigail and David became, when they became one, when they united later and got married in 1 Samuel 25, verse 39 through 42, they must have been a beautiful couple. Today, they would call them a power couple. They must have been with her both, their grace, their beauty, and all their character and honesty. Faithfulness to God must have been a beautiful couple. And in addition to David being musical, he was equal to Abigail as well in wisdom and prudence, as we found in 1 Samuel 16 and 18. As a Hebrew woman was restricted in their customs at the time that they could only give advice or speak up when great emergency or a great need was there. And in this case, that's exactly what she saw. Because had she not acted, she knew immediately there was going to be repercussions of how he had acted. It was going to bring danger upon their whole family. Now, she didn't act in impulse by going out to David to plead mercy. She followed all the dictates of her discipline. She knew she had to do this in just the right way. She wasn't going out as somebody screaming, yelling, and panic and trying to defend. She went out in humbleness, brought the food, and approached him, showing that she respected and honored who he was. At the same time giving that, she did it with her heart and the sweet tones of her voice. And they were so sweet, they were like when David played the harp for Saul and soothed his heart with her voice, did the same thing. And her looks and the way she did that exercised the demon of revenge from David and awoke the angel, the slumbering in his heart. In other words, she turned him around. He was so angry. As we'll find out in the scripture, he wanted to go wipe them all out by the way he was disrespected. And yet she turned all that around. You know, we can never accurately gauge the effect that we have on others with our words and actions. Sometimes we hear people say nice things or bad things, but we never know for true which is which. And if they're really that good or really that bad. We only know if we act correctly, we have to be judged by God and understand that. And so we find that the intervention here of Abigail in the nick of time teaches us that when we do have something of wisdom to impart, trouble we see that we can help resolve, we are to take action no matter what the risk may be. Whether somebody likes what we're doing or not, if we can really impart some wisdom to help them, we need to speak up at times. And it's not easy to do. You know, we always fear of being thought stupid and then remove all doubt by opening our mouth. And so we don't want to do that. And it hampers us sometimes when we see a real issue that we can help with. Abigail had many opportunities to mend fences for her horrible outbursts of her husband. Neighbors and friends knew that he was a drunken sot. They had dealt with him. She had several times had to go and defend him to them. But she had a real art in doing it. She did it with David as well. She didn't go in and try to defend her husband by arguing with David and telling him he was wrong. She approached it from an entirely different angle. And she brought to David a peace offering to soothe David's anger, which gave her the position of advantage. For her peacemaking mission, she received David's blessing, as we find now in verses 32 through 35 here in 1 Samuel 25. Samuel writes this event. He says this, starting in verse 32 of Samuel 25. He says, "Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hastened and come to meet me, surely by morning light no male would have been left to Nabal.' So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, 'Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person.'" Abigail's wisdom was that she did not attempt to confront David and try to talk him out of it or to defend her husband. No, she knew her husband was wrong. She went up and humbled herself. And through her wisdom and grace and humility, she encouraged David to look at the picture a little bit differently and to allow that anger, that revenge that he had in his heart to escape and that his true heart to come out. She returned her wicked, in return she told about her wicked husband, what he had done in the past, and he didn't really deserve to live, but please have mercy on him. She pleaded that way from a way he probably never seen coming. And as a result, she was able to convince somebody very powerful to do something that was right when he was all fixed to do something that was wrong. And ultimately, he became very thankful for it. She had taken him for better or worse, her husband. You see, and all through this, she did not renege on her vows. She believed in God. She took what he said to be truth. And she didn't leave him just because times were hard. You know, when others would have left, she stayed when not only was it bad, but it even got worse. You know, she went through a life that had to suffer being spurned and insulted and possibly even beaten. Well, he would be in a drunken rage. We don't have record of that, but we know today that's what happens often when people get drunk and they're bad behavior already. They tend to beat on whoever happens to be around. That may have happened where they were, but we don't know for sure, but we do know whatever did happen, that she remained loyal not only to God but also to her vows. And when David had listened to her plea of Abigail and accepted her offering, he was thankful that he had not taken into his own hands the right of God to make revenge. God had said that that was his right to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, as we depart for just a moment, we find Paul writing to the church at Rome on this very issue of who is to take revenge. In Romans 12, verse 19, passionately he says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." When David said to Abigail, "Blessed is your advice," there in 1 Samuel 25:33, he went on to confess that he was ready to do something that was wrong. She convinced him not to. He was ready to take a life of all of those that were there. He was going to avenge what was happening. And if he'd done that day, probably he wouldn't have stopped it, just the males. Probably there would be others, and she probably may have been taken out as well. But death came as a great divorce to Abigail. She had no tears of regret. Although all those suffering and disappointing years had ended when she fulfilled her marriage vows. And when she had fulfilled all of them and she came back and told her husband what she had done, in 10 days, she would be a free woman. You see, she allowed it to be in God's hands. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 37 and 39, listen to what Samuel writes about this event. 1 Samuel 25, 37, we start, "So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife told him that these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it came about 10 days that the it came about after 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. So when David heard of that Nabal was dead, he said, 'Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head.' And David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife." What a transformation. From being the wife of somebody who was cruel and mean, now going to be the wife of the king of Israel. And as a result of that, she had her whole life turned around. She had blessings that she always deserved but did not get. As a result, they had a son by the name of Chilead, as we find in 2 Samuel 3:3. Later, he's called Daniel over in 1 Chronicles 3:1. And as a result of that, they had a happy life together, doing the things that they did. She traveled with him in a variety of places, as the scriptures tells us. And among the lessons to be learned from this life of Abigail, the one that is surely first is that there can be much heartache when a Christian marries a non-Christian. Now, this is not always the case. I'm not dispersing on that, because some are brought to salvation by that very relationship. But it also shows that difficult times will happen when people are unyoked. And when we have that, it becomes a struggle. That's why we usually encourage our young to find somebody who is a Christian, because it makes that part of a life a lot easier. And it just happens that way many times, that those things happen. And you see, she married Nabal when she was young, and he was a young man in Naon. But according to the custom at that time, often marriages were prearranged. You may not have had a say on who she would marry. But you know, even today, many who have the choice to make, they make the wrong choices still, don't they? We've all had experience, somebody we thought was somebody, and then we find out they're not like that at all. And it causes problems. But perhaps Abigail might have knew the flaws of her husband. And as a result of it, some think, you know, I'm going to save. There's all that kind of a savior thing that many people have. I find somebody who's struggling, I want to bring him in, and I want to turn him around. And perhaps she felt that way. She had a good heart. Maybe she thought that I'll go in and correct those things and make him a better man. But then she found out he was more evil than even she could correct. But she didn't violate her vows. She stayed there until the time that God released her through the fact that Nabal died. Now, as we look at this, I think there's a poem that I found that kind of highlights our lesson tonight. You know, when you think about a woman like Abigail, we must consider all of her attributes, not just her physical outlook, not just her physical appearance, but her soul and heart and spirit as she followed what God said to do. And this little poem kind of brings that out. It's titled, "If You Will." And it goes like this. If God can make an ugly seed with a bit of earth and air and dew and rain and sunshine and shade, a flower of wondrous fair, what can he do when he makes, what can he make of a soul like you with the Bible and faith and prayer? And with the Holy Spirit, if you do his will, and trust his love and care. Isn't that true? If we allow ourselves to be molded by God by following his thing, we can be so much more than we could ever be on our own. Now tonight, if you are a Christian and you have fallen away, the Lord has his arms stretched out to bring you home. And if you are one who needs to have the Lord as your salvation, well, the door is open for you as well. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, won't you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.